your heartstrings. A story of tragedy, of sorrow. It's Christmas Day and Mom and Dad are in the house and the tree is set. The house is decorated. Everything is beautiful. Three presents under the tree. One from Mom to Dad, one from Dad to Mom, and one for their daughter sitting there under the tree. Sunday morning comes, Christmas morning comes, and they're there, and they give the gifts to each other. Mom opens her gift, Dad opens his gift. Everything is good, but there is a sense of sadness in the room. One gift still under the tree. It has their daughter's name on it. It's right there. It's wrapped. It's hers. But she's not there. It's quiet in the house. They recognize again, another Christmas has gone by, and their daughter's not there. Later that day, Mom comes in, she picks up the gift, she walks slowly down the hallway to the bedroom, she opens the door and she walks in, and as she's walking in, she's crying. She sets the gift down beside all the other gifts from all the other Christmases and all the other birthdays. She sets it right there, and she walks out, and she closes the door. The gift is hers, the daughter's. But for whatever reason, she refuses Mom and Dad's love. She hasn't talked to them in years. She won't have anything to do with them. The gifts are hers. The love is waiting there for her. The forgiveness the parents want to give to the daughter is there waiting. But the daughter refuses. The gifts are still hers, even though she rejects them. I don't think there's any more powerful image in our world than to see someone crying when the gift, the love that they want to give to someone else has been refused. That's the picture of Jesus in the gospel reading for today. Jesus is weeping, crying over Jerusalem, over his city. A city that has the temple of David in it, and yet the people are so far from the hope and the promise that Jesus can give to them. There are only a few things that cause this kind of emotion in Jesus. We see him cry one other time, and that's over death, the death of his friend Lazarus. And here, crying over Jerusalem, his city, and his people that he wants to love and he wants them to receive his good gifts. But just like the daughter, they turn their back and they go about their business and they refuse the gifts that God gives to them. Well, let's set the stage for the gospel reading for this morning. It's Palm Sunday. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. The crowds are gathered. They're cutting palm branches. They're waving them. They're laying them on the road. And they're shouting, Hosanna, which means, Lord, save. You would think with this great event, with all of this celebration, that this would have brought joy to Jesus. And yet it didn't. The people are waving the palm branches and saying, Lord, save us, but they're not asking Jesus to save them from their sins. They want to be saved from the earthly rulers that might impose something upon them. Save us from the Romans. They're not looking for the food of eternal life that Jesus alone can give to them. Instead, they're just looking for something to satisfy the cravings in their belly. Food for today. They don't care about the food of eternal life given by Jesus himself. They're only looking for selfish things, for things for themselves. The temple where prayers are offered, there God's prophets' promise were preached, and they became real. There was a place where God and his word would be given to the people. And in all reality, it had become a 7-Eleven. A place where you could go and get whatever. People buying and selling outside of the temple. There was a currency exchange there for people from other lands so that they could exchange their currency and buy goods. And the exchange rate was extraordinarily high. You see, it hadn't become a place of prayer, or it didn't remain a place of prayer where God would hear and they would ask. It had become a marketplace for getting the gifts that God offered. The gift of faith, forgiveness of sins, and eternal peace with God are freely offered, and God's people there in Jerusalem, wouldn't receive the gifts, took them as ordinary, didn't value them at all, wouldn't listen, wouldn't come and receive the gifts that God had given to them. And seeing Jesus crying for his people, they continued to refuse the gifts of faith and forgiveness that's right there in front of them. Right there in Jerusalem, Jesus is preaching and teaching and wanting to give them the gifts, and yet they refuse them. I wonder how Jesus would look at Divine Shepherd, at our Savior, as he would look at the gifts that are given here. We have a baptized membership at Divine Shepherd of 507 people. And yet attendance on any Sunday, or any week really, combined all the services, is about 150. We have 150 people in worship, and yet we're lucky after the service if we get 20 people that stay for Bible study to learn more about God's Word. In 2 weeks, Sunday school is going to start again, and in the midst of all of those things where we continue to preach and teach to our kids, when we as a congregation have about 60 kids that are in that Sunday school range, and on average we'll get a dozen, or on a good Sunday, 20. The gifts of God are freely given to his people here, freely every Sunday poured out for them, the forgiveness of sins, the promise that your Savior hears you and knows you. And yet so many refuse the gifts that God has given to us. Instead, we replace that gift that God gives with other gifts, gifts that will serve me, gifts of, well, my busy schedule, and I really need to get this and that and the other thing done, and it's just church after all. Gifts of serving me and the things that I want. Oh, I really want to enjoy the weekend. We don't have many left before school starts. We better get our last camping in, and whatever it means. And do you see how quickly we replace the gifts that God was given to us with selfish things? Will that camping trip forgive your sins? Will keeping your schedule in line and getting those last to-do items give you the peace that only God can give? They won't. And that's why Jesus weeps. Because all too often, we step into those roles of putting something ahead of the good and gracious gifts that God gives to us. Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. That's a powerful image. As he sees his people not seeing the gifts that he gives to them. But as he's there, Jesus continues to do what he does. He continues to love his people even when they are disobedient and won't listen and won't receive his gifts. He preaches all week long, the very last week of his life. He preaches to the Pharisees. He preaches to the scribes. He preaches to all the people in Jerusalem so that they would know what these gifts are, especially the gift that stood in front of them that would go to the cross that very week. Jesus is there with his disciples on that Thursday evening, and he continues not only to preach and to give that gift, but he gives them another gift. Sitting with his disciples, celebrating the Passover, Jesus takes the cup and says, "Take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant." A new promise that Jesus is going to make on the very next day, when his blood will be shed for them and for us and for all people for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus says, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you." The very body of Christ poured out on the cross for us for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Our Lord continues to give good gifts to his people even when they won't hear or they refuse the gifts. You don't have to hang around Divine Shepherd very long to realize, you're probably going to hear me say this at some point in time, God loves to give us his good gifts. And he gives us his gifts in bags: baptism, absolution, gospel, and supper. Our Lord loves to give the gifts, and he offers them freely and generously to us every single week. As he comes to us here in the divine service, he gives us that gift of bags at the beginning of our life in Christ. Right there in plain water with God's word and promise, he makes you his child. He washes away all of your sins. He connects you to Jesus, the one who has died for you on the cross. And he makes a promise that I'll be with you every day of your life, no matter where you go. He promises that one day when this is all over, that this gift of making you his son and his daughter assures you a place in heaven with him. God gives us his good gifts in baptism, in the absolution, when we gathered here and we confess, Lord, I have not done what I said I would do. I have despised your gifts this week. I haven't had time, I haven't taken time to pray and to be in your word. I know I've put other things before you, and our Lord comes to you at the beginning of the worship service and he says, my child, I forgive you, because Jesus died for that sin as well. He gives us the gospel. He gives us Jesus right here in this word preached into our ears, where the law convicts us and says we haven't done what we should do. Jesus says, I've forgiven you. I've died for you. I've given you this great gift that will carry you through to eternal life. He gives us the sacrament. He gives us Jesus again right here in the gift of his very body and blood. You see, in all of these gifts that God gives to us, they really result in two things. The gifts that God gives to us result in forgiveness of sins and in peace with God. And all of that comes together right here in the Lord's Supper. As we gather and we receive the Lord's Supper, after I say the words of institution, I'll hold up the chalice with the blood of Christ and I'll hold up the body of Christ. That's called the Pax Domini, the peace of the Lord. It's Jesus being lifted up. Jesus being lifted up as he was on the cross for you, nailed there for you for the forgiveness of sins. It's Jesus lifted up as he ascended from the grave and is now living, or was now living on earth and then ascended to be with his Father in heaven. It's Jesus lifted up victorious and triumphant right here in front of us. And when the pastor holds these up, he says this to you. The peace of God that passes all understanding, watch over you. The peace of the Lord be with you always. All of God's gifts coming together right here in the very body and blood of Jesus for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. This gift doesn't wear out. This gift isn't easily forgotten. This gift will do what no other gift you've received ever will do. It will forgive you. It will give you peace to God. It will raise you one day to be with him and give you eternal life. If you turn around and look at that back beam right there over the doors, you'll see a verse up there. And we put that verse on that door very specifically, because that verse from the Gospel of John reminds us of everything, every gift that God gives to us right here on Sunday morning and whenever we gather and worship. John writes, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Jesus' words. You see, that's the gift. Forgiveness of sins and peace with God given to us at the great cost of Jesus Christ for you every day, always. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, says Jesus. What a gift. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now the peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.